come now and let us reason together. Now, today is going to be a challenge, so please don't doze off. Stay with me. This is one of those weeks where the readings all come together to make a consistent statement about the power of God and how the saints of the church are to respond to that call. It is humbling, especially in the light of last week's readings, briefly concerning the Christian concept of the good life and the good death. Now, in the gospel reading today, our man Zacchaeus was someone who was in the business of collecting taxes from his fellow Jews with a hefty commission for himself. An abomination in the eyes of all Israel. Jewish tax collectors were barely above swine in the list of unclean animals. But Jesus changed all of that, didn't he? Jesus called on Zacchaeus to straighten up. And Zacchaeus answered the call of Jesus, and salvation came to him. Zacchaeus, a regular person, a sinner, an outcast, and still he was able to hear the call of our Lord Christ and submit to him. This is the blessing of our Lord God. No matter what you have done, no matter where you are spiritually, he is there for each one of us. Now, honestly, that sounds about as trite and condescending as anything in the spoken word, doesn't it? Unless you actually have experienced the love and power of our Lord Christ at work in your life. Are you at the top of your game? Zacchaeus certainly was, by any standard of the world. Remember, he was the one who offered to restore fourfold for anything that he had done. And even then, our Lord's grace was available to him. Feeling rather low today? Like life has you by the throat and just will not let you go. I offer, answering the call of Jesus, offer yourself to the living Lord and be assured of his mighty power to calm the storms in your life. Now, as Christians, of course, we hear these words of comfort, words describing the many, many mercies of our Lord Jesus. And if we are actually believers, we have experienced the abiding presence, the abiding power of the Lord in our own lives. And as we have discussed before, if we are practicing the spiritual disciplines of gathering on the Lord's Day, giving alms, praying, acts of service, among other things, we will have a better opportunity to experience the work of the Lord in our own lives. The same opportunity as Zacchaeus. The less we practice these things, the less we will see the work of God in our lives, and the more we will concern ourselves with other people's business. Remember, Paul told the people of Thessalonica to live their own lives, to stay focused themselves on the Lord. This is particularly important because we see the ramifications of having our attention wander, especially in the readings of the Old Testament. I mean, really, listen to God's words as I skip through the prophet Isaiah. I do not delight in the blood of bulls. Bring me no more vain offerings. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. And finally, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. That's pretty strong stuff. And as we hear this lesson from Isaiah, we see God's anger with the people of Judah because of the way they had worshipped. God compares Judah, a portion of the promised land. God compares Judah to Sodom and Gomorrah. And why is that? This passage shows us what worship can degenerate towards, devolve towards, when we are not careful to keep our focus on God. and minding His business of transformation in our lives and in our hearts and in the world around us, outside of these doors. Paul is equally clear in his letter to the Thessalonians. He uses very, very harsh words, but Paul, like God, uses them for a reason. Think about what you've heard from that lectern over there. It sounds like rage being poured upon a helpless people. But in context, it is the frightened voice of a parent seeing people he loves playing with salvation, eternal salvation, as if belief did not matter. Now look, it's hard for believers to hear words like that, but they are there, and we must deal with them. I'm convinced that human beings push God, just as they push the Apostle Paul, to use harsh words, just as our own children are wont to do sometimes with us. Isn't that true? From the perspective of God's words and Paul's letters, we often act as if we don't need a Savior, that our wrongs, things done and left undone, do not matter. We can be like the child who simply ignores the parental warnings about crossing the busy street, and she relies on those big doe eyes to charm her parents away from the consequences to come. The Christian life, friends, is not a game. The Christian calling is high, and it is about holiness for the people of God. That holiness, that call to be set apart, to be the people of God in service to the kingdom of God here on earth. The kingdom that Jesus, our Lord, inaugurated with His birth. Now, what you have heard there, I want you to at least take away what I'm telling you now. If there's anything you hear from me today, it is this. Hear that the Christian life is one of love first, and transformation second. Love is demonstrated by God sending His only begotten Son to us to reorient us to right belief and to save us from ourselves. A life of transformation, because no matter who you are, our Lord Jesus has the resurrection power of moving each one of us, priests included, to yet another level of holiness, another step closer to Thee. That's real power. And if sometimes language is used to spell out the seriousness of the Christian life, I encourage you to hear in those words the cry of a parent begging the daughter, begging the son to return to the Lord. Because that's what it is. The Christian life is a life set apart. And today, in the midst of serious language about consequences, no doubt about it, we also celebrate. We get to celebrate those people, those saints who have gone before us, those who have heeded serious language, those who have passed this life of joy and challenge, of praise and travail. We remember those who have heeded the call of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and taken that one step closer to perfect love, perfect acceptance. And the Lord said, "Come, let us reason together." God moves for a reason, and in recognition of that fact, we understand that today is a special day in the life of the church where we celebrate the saints in the pews, hello saints, and those people who have gone before us. some recognized in the calendars of the church. We also remember saints who were members here, or those over whose burials I had the honor of presiding over on your behalf, on behalf of this congregation. And so, friends, this year, this day, we remember James Ryder, Glenn Bryson, and Robert Nelson Sr. We remember the gifts of their lives to their family, their friends, even to this congregation and community. We remember them in all their humanness. Were they perfect? No. A silly question to ask. Only God's love is perfect. Only His acceptance is perfect. And we also take time to remember those who are connected to this congregation in other ways. Those who are our sisters, our brothers, children, parents, loved ones, those whose names we carry in our hearts even today, every day. And so now I ask you to engage in the same exercise that we have been engaging in the past few years. And I ask you, can you name a saint who has touched your life? They could be one of the towering giants of the church history that we participate in, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. Or it could be someone actually quite close. The friend who used to live down the street, the one now departed. Maybe your grandmother or your grandfather. Remembering that only a tiny, tiny fraction will ever be recognized in a church calendar like ours. But the saints of this parish and those in our own lives have left a distinct Christian witness for us. This is the power and the inspiration of a saint in the lives of congregations. They bring Jesus Christ closer to our hearts and souls, but primarily through their human weakness, made strong in the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the saints of the church. You are the saints of the church. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank Thee for the glorious company of the apostles. And especially on this day, we remember the saints, those who have gone before us. Grant us grace so to follow Thy blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those ineffable joys which Thou hast prepared for those who unfeignedly love Thee, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth one God in glory everlasting.